Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? You know how we do it. It's better when we get through it after a Rockets victory. They're up 2-0 in the series. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Sun is somewhat shining as we bring a shining star into the studio. Yesterday with Barry on the world tour of comedy, Mario Ellie joined me. Now another one of my buddies, my close friends, my NBA family, Mucci Norris. Happy to have him in the studio with Nick and I today. Mooch, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Okay, who's that Barry guy anyway, man? We don't like that
this
guy.
This Laminack guy. I only know he exists and is still alive because he responds on Twitter and likes certain things when we see them at night when I'm watching the games.
So he's still alive?
As far as I know.
Unfortunately.
I mean, he's not checking in a whole lot. Oh, you know what? And he left a message for the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge. So we know that, yeah, so I know that he is at least communicating with people on the outside world.
The world tour of Barry Laminack. Hopefully he's having fun out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I don't know any fun that could be had in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's
you probably
legal.
Know better than me. You and Mooch.
I'm telling you like that.
I'm telling you. I've never
been. Did you play in OKC?
Uh-huh. Remember, I went there. Remember, I left when I...
oh, that's right.
I left the Rockets. I went there.
Thank God there's a basketball team there, because without it, there would be nothing to
nothing,
do.
Nothing. It was literally nothing to do while I was there.
It was awful. And they built like one little like kind of restaurant complex right by where we were staying at that haunted hotel. And I'm like, and there was a Toby Keith's restaurant. And that was the biggest thing going. I'm like, man, if the Thunder weren't here, it would be flat library boring.
Well, according to Jerome Solomon, you could always have barbecue, what was it, bologna?
How disgusting
is
that?
He says barbecue bologna like pretty much only exists in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And maybe that's a good thing.
And it looks pretty disgusting online if you take a...
Never heard of that.
No, and I grew up on bologna sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, fried bologna, absolutely.
I don't know about fried bologna.
Yeah, fried bologna.
No, I've heard of fried bologna.
Yeah. Put it in, fried bologna. Got to put it in the pan. Hit it 4 times so it can split and lay flat. Yeah, you got to try that, man.
Yeah, to make you one of those. I don't know if I'm in for all that, but I did have the bologna slices, and that was enough for me. And then when you grow up in the Midwest and you've got liverwurst, that'll tighten you right up, too.
That'll
I can
do.
Tell you that. That might want to stay up in the Midwest because that's, like Cal Murphy used to say, everything from the rooter to the tooter, they put all of that in one kind of meat. But that was then, this is now. So Mooch is here for the full 3 hours, and we'll take you all the way up till 4 o'clock. So we're going to get through a lot of basketball, obviously, but a lot of other things, because Mooch can kick it around on a lot of topics. I did text him last night, Nick, and I said, be ready to talk a lot of Astros today, and do your research and watch the game.
Look at that face.
Yeah, needless to say, the response was not...
Hey, I didn't watch the Astros game either. I was at the Rockets game, which is the talk of the town right now anyway.
Yeah, but I was flipping back and forth. I was watching both because, you know, they do from time to time ask me to talk about these things. Yeah, so I was watching both, but basically because the Rockets game wasn't worth watching after the second quarter.
Absolutely. It got done early.
All right, so before we get into all that, too, why don't you fill everybody in what's been going on in your life and how that you can reach him, by the way, at the letter I, Mucci Norris. I'm Mucci Norris, so you can reach out and get with Mooch throughout the show and whenever you want. Just follow him. He's always a good follow, very positive guy, and still doing a lot with the basketball world. But what's going on with you?
I'm just, you know, I'm home, man. I'm glad to just be here in Houston. It's my second home from D.C. So yep. I went home for a minute, came back, and got right into training, basketball, and coaching. So currently right now I got my own training thing that I do is called Mucci Norris Workouts. It's on Instagram, Mucci Norris _workouts. I'm coaching TJ Ford's 13U, his elite team.
AAU team.
Yeah, AAU yep. team. So he just wanted me to work with his son. So I took that team over. And then I'm just all over the city moving around, just coaching and training and working people
I
up.
Think that's the great thing is I know you've always been passionate about the game. And the fact that, you know, we played together for a long time in all the city leagues and everything like that too. And the biggest thing was when you weren't playing, you were always in the gym. And you know, even before all the social media, you had young kids trying to be better before they got to high school or college, and you were always working with them. And that's what I always loved. There's a passion that's in some people's hearts about that sport. There's other people that we know there are people out there, and I'm not going to put you on the spot. I can name you other players, Kelvin Cato, that are guys that only played because they were 7 foot tall and knew they could make a paycheck, but didn't have that love in their heart. And I know you got that love in your heart for the game, and I think that's just awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. The words mean a lot. Yeah, I just promised that I'll give back what God gave me, man. And that's just the biggest thing about it. It's like I can't take it with me nowhere, so why not pass it on? And I was I was working out with a kid one day, and his parents just said, we need more of this. And it just kept on going from there. Like, I never stopped. I was like, you're right. Because when I was younger, you know, the pro guys didn't come around. I was able to go to the Georgetowns, to the Bullets games back in the day.
Sure.
But as far as interacting with the players and stuff like that, we couldn't actually do that. So
right.
Now they make that accessible for kids in the community and in pretty much every city now. So I thought I'd just, you know, since I play here in Houston, that'd be a great thing for me to do.
And I think it's a great thing, too, because I think a lot of things that people don't realize, like you were saying, is before it was just there was a disconnect. You couldn't do it. Now there's other rules in place. You take a guy like John Lucas Sr., who has done so much. We know what he's done nationally in terms of helping players when they're a little bit down and out with certain different things that they've had to deal with in their lives. But in the Houston area, what he's done for young kids. But now that he is one of the coaches for the Rockets and the player development and coaching staff for the Rockets, he's not allowed to interact with those kids anymore because of the fact that they think it's tampering as you're possibly recruiting, because recruiting is earlier and earlier now. And that's why it's so great, like guys like you and Mo Taylor and Mario was here yesterday, and you guys are getting involved with AAU and you guys are getting involved in coaching and you're not afraid to go talk to young people. That's what makes it so important, because Luke has had such a huge – I don't think people realize what Luke's meant to this community in terms of the young people wanting to play basketball.
Absolutely. When you think of youth basketball, you think of John Lucas. His name rings out first and foremost. All hail the king. He just – you know, he does so much, not just here in Houston, but he has tournaments all throughout the country. And it's great. I love what he's doing. And he's one of the reasons that I decided to start doing my own thing. You know, I was like, I want to, you know, have my hand in it too and do, you know, give back some of the things I learned throughout the sport on and off the court.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a rough thing with him not being able to be directly connected to it, but it's still his thing. So I know he oversees it and makes sure everything runs well. But like you said, as far as the tampering thing, I could see where that could be a problem down the road later on, because now these kids are playing and they, you know, got a chance to go to college.
You know, we've talked about it. I've done some articles and videos on SportsMap about it. The fact of the matter is recruiting used to happen when you were a junior, senior in high school and then where you're going to go to college. Now, with AAU and everything else, recruiting starts before you're 12, 13 years old. Yeah, basically when you're born. Yeah. Nick, you're right.
Yeah, it's crazy because TJ has a young kid right now. He's ranked number one in the country, and he's like fifth, sixth grade. And I'm like, wow.
Man.
Like, wow.
Number one in the country, fifth or sixth graders. And you know how dirty it can be. I mean, that's why I like the fact that these teams are in capable hands of guys like you that know that you're going to do things the right way. Because there's so many people, that evil underbelly of the coaching staff that's not looking really to try and coach kids. They're looking to coach the kid that's going to give them their first paycheck to get to another job so that they can get on the scene. And the shoe companies are getting involved and they're throwing money at left and right and all these things. And it gets so corrupt that it's really screwing the sport.
Yeah, it is. I told TJ, me and TJ had a talk one day when TJ asked me would I coach his team, and I told him, you know, I don't do AAU. I'm not a fan of the monster. I really haven't been. But me and TJ has such a great history that I decided that, you know, I would do this favor for him. You know, Posey did it, Daniel Young, some of the other guys, and I was like, yeah, you know what? For you, I'll get out here and help you with your team. Other than that, I wouldn't be doing AAU.
That's awesome.
I'm glad it's there for the kids and it's a great opportunity for them to further their careers and move on and have opportunities to get to these top programs and have a shot at school. But the where it is, like you said, the monster of the whole thing.
Houston's such a hotbed. I remember when Coach Sampson took the U of H job, we're like, Coach, even if you get the 25 through 50, you get five of those kids out of Houston, you're going to be a tournament team, because that's how good the basketball is in this city. But with it comes that evil other side where people are looking to make that their home run and their payday. And it's sick. All the way back to DeAndre Jordan, when you had guys that were trying to hitch their wagon just so that it could take them to other places and not worry about the development of the kid.
Yeah, it's always going to be like that, though.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for somebody else to make way. So if they can do it off your back, I think they'll do it. I mean, they, you know, these opportunities are out there and they're being created by other people. So, you know, it's just one of them things you try to stay away from. At least I do. I have what I like about kids. I was just talking to a kid before I walked in that I don't have a bunch of the prima donna kids, the rank kids and this, that, and the other. I like all the other kids that's got to go the route that I went.
Yep.
I try to work with those kids because I know that they're going to come in and give me their all every day. Not to say that the top kids don't.
Right.
But we know who those top kids are already. And, you know, they're pretty much in the gym every day.
Sure.
So with someone already. Trying to help them further their games. But I like working with those kids that are in that gray area or on the bottom of the totem pole.
That's awesome, man. Nick wanted to know when you were coming in because he said, I'm looking for the guy on the bobblehead. I was looking for the big afro and all that other stuff. And then when you walked in, he's like, who's this guy? And I'm like,
negative.
You know,
man, not true, sir.
Afro is missing. Afro is MIA.
It's actually not missing, though. I have it at home in the bag.
You have a wig.
No, I have the hair that I cut off in a plastic bag.
You still have it?
Yes.
Are there plans for this
hair? I'm going to post the hair one day. I'm going to go to my storage and get it and post the hair one day.
You totally got to post that.
Now, we can get into this because I've mentioned this on the show before because it was crazy back in the day. And again, Mario was from the back in the day era and Mucci was kind of the bridge in between. So we've got guys from different that can talk on different things. But I told the story the night that Steve lost his tooth at the Compaq Center and the next morning it was on eBay. That's the crazy stuff. Like, you could bring the fro out of retirement in wherever you got it, and I guarantee you,
you
some
get a
crazy
Rockets
fan
would
be like, you know, I might want to bid on that. That might be something I could put in my den. I could hang that on the wall. That would be interesting.
I will hope not.
I would hope not, but
I would
it's possible.
Hope not. That's a heck of a trophy to have. Oh, yeah, this is Moochie's hair.
Well, it's better there than elsewhere. So, with that being said, we're just getting started. It's the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, and you can also hit us up on Twitter. As I mentioned, it's at iMoochieNorris, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. You can already tell we're going to have some fun. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
I see you dead.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Easy surprise.
Hey, we're back on. What do you know? It's The Usual Suspects. Barry is on a world tour of comedy until next Tuesday. That means that I get to bring some of my family into the studio to have some fun. Yesterday it was Mario L8, and today it is my man Moochie Norris. Nick is here as well as we continue to hold down the fort till we reunite on Tuesday when Barry is back. We're checking the text lines. And like I said, if you want to call, if you got Moochie memories or questions for him, we'll get to those along the way too. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. And on Twitter, Mac Daddy says, Joel and Nick, I still remember my days of helping Moochie with his Apple stuff at the Galleria. He was always nice to me. Now, I'm sure right off the top of your head, you have a vision of who this person is, and you can call everything up. Yesterday, I told you are so lucky you got Mac Daddy, and he was talking about Apple stuff, as opposed to what Mario got yesterday with dudes dripping wax in a club and everybody drinking. And then he was struggling
to figure out how to put his phone on silent, because that was going off the entire show.
Yeah, that's
show.
The other thing. Please tell me your phone's on silent, because Rio had, I don't know if it was a burner, I'm not saying. He just said he had two different phones with two different ringers, and he wouldn't turn them off because he said one of them with his kids were calling from school. He had a disco tune on one. He had another, and everybody's chiming in. You want to tell Mario to turn his volume down on his ringer and stuff like that? I'm like, and then when I told him that someone said he was rude, he's like, yo, man. I'm like, okay, we're just junkyard dog started coming out of him. I'm like, slow down. So, all right. So with all that being said, you've been keeping up with this Rocket series. And obviously people had a bit of a concern about game one, the help that James Harden didn't receive. And lo and behold, last night, the help came in bunches. Thank God Chris Paul came up and stepped up big. Harden didn't have his great offensive night, but the rest of the troops came to his defense. And they are where they're supposed to be, up 2-0.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to be like that all the whole series. Either Harden's doing it or Chris Paul's doing it. They're going to be – you're in a situation where we got two guys that can make the other guys better. Mm-hmm. You know, normally it's just Harden having to make a whole team better. But now when Harden's not doing it, Chris Paul can do it. So that's why when Chris Paul and it wasn't going in the first game, your MVP
stepped up
what he's supposed to, everybody was wanting to see. And he did it in game one. And now in game two, when your main guy's struggling – number two, Robin shows up, comes in, saves the day, and then the other troops get in. But they have so much shooting on that team that somebody's got to be making shots at some time.
Because Eric Gordon still isn't, you know, and P.J. Tucker's up and down. You know, there's some guys. So that's where I go next. And, Nick, you chime in anytime because you were at the game last night. But here's my thing. My question is, when you look at this team, we talked about it. Harden game one, Chris Paul the star in game two for the most part. Gerald Green obviously off the bench. But when do you start worrying about when they're both clicking at the right time? Because at a certain point, you're going to get to a series, even maybe before Golden State, but obviously with Golden State, maybe if OKC's hot or whoever comes out of that series, you're going to need both of those guys. And so far, we haven't seen that. When does that become a concern?
They're the best team in the league.
Regular season, though.
I'm not worried about that now, because this is the one thing I felt like the Rockets were missing in the past few years, was another guy that can be a threat like that and get it done. Because with Chris Paul, he doesn't actually have to score to be great. He creates so much problems for defensive teams, for defenses, that he's always getting to the basket. He's always getting in deep. Mm-hmm. He's forcing you to leave guys where you don't want to, but he's at point blank range. He's posting your point guards up. He's just creating opportunities that he's going to get it done one way or the other. And James, he's just going to be James. As long as James is James, the Rockets will be fine. I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to matter down the stretch. I think they just got too much shooting.
But I'm saying, you reach in Oklahoma City you know that those two guys, you got two guys that are perimeter defenders that do not have to double team. You've got Paul George, and please don't call him Playoff P, because that's something that you do in the locker room when you're breaking. But you've got Paul George and you got Westbrook. They can take those guys one-on-one and have the rest of their defenders in the area to do other things. You're going to need those other players, because at a certain point, you're going to come up against a team that can defend your two best players.
But I think the Rockets got more other players
than any other team. Because we know how good their bench can be.
Exactly. And like you said, Gordon's not hitting right now.
Right.
And he's normally almost 20 points. I mean, so once that starts going well, then like you said, Gerald Green came off and played great.
Yep.
Trevor, you know, he had a so-so night. Right. You know, so when your other guys get going, and we ain't even talking about Capella. I mean, he had a rough night last night.
But, you know, and actually he had a rough now three halves of basketball, because he got off really, really quickly in game one, mm-hmm. and then only had 2 points in the second half of game one, and then had an off night last night. Now, on the flip side, you can say, well, he did hold Karl Anthony Towns to another really bad night, where single digits for Karl Anthony Towns is acceptable.
There's something wrong with Tibbs and Towns, and I think there was a report out earlier, because he played, when there was like 3 or 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I think he only played like 4 minutes in the second half.
So he was holding him out even after the second
he
quarter.
He wasn't playing him. Even if he's having a bad game, you would think you'd let him, I don't know what Mooch thinks, you'd let him get out of his rut, you know, out of his slump. But for whatever reason, he didn't play him that much.
He definitely wouldn't have been sitting on the sideline watching that fourth quarter go by. He would have played.
Yeah.
Because he has to get a rip. In order for them to win, he's going to have to play well. He's going to have to get 20 plus points. Yep. There's no way he can get 8-9 points and they win the game. It's not going
to
happen.
Now, in terms of Chris Paul, if and when they get to the Golden State Warriors, I think that, it'd probably be a little bit more important for both Chris and Harden to have good games. But I think the good thing is, because, you know, Chris Paul kind of gets a lot of heat for his lack of playoff success when he was with the Clippers, the fact that he finally had, or not finally, but had a good game in game two, because game one he didn't have a good game and everybody was hard on him. hopefully that continues. I think that's one positive. But, yeah, I don't know what's up with Karl-Anthony Towns. And Capella, I think it's important for him to pick up too. So
yeah.
Well, what you saying about Chris Paul and when he was with the Clippers, he played well, but they didn't win.
True, but at the same time, go back to that Memphis series when he had a chance to control the ball, run out the clock, turned it over.
Yep.
That cost him that series. Then you look at the big lead in Game 6 against the Rockets, cost him that series. Whether it was his fault or not, it doesn't matter. You're going to get shouldered with the load of the blame when you're the front guy, as James Harden knows well and good, when things don't go well.
But absolutely, but that's the difference between Chris Paul playing well and, like he said, in so many words, you know, I have another guy next to me that's going to get double teamed and demand that attention take the attention off him, which we know Blake Griffin didn't play well in the playoffs.
No. Now, let me put this to bed because we got so much more to get to on this series and the Rockets and what's going on. But we've got a texter that seems to be a genius that knows all through the cowardly confidant that is his text messages. We have your phone number, but I won't call it out on the air. Hey, Joel, so much for Taj Gibson. Okay. Can you just let this person know what kind of defender Taj Gibson is? Minnesota's not in the playoffs without Taj Gibson in the last game of the season against the Denver Nuggets.
Absolutely, absolutely. But he's a great defender anyway. And you're playing for Thibodeau. You're playing for Thibodeau.
Yeah, he needs help. Do you think that Taj Gibson can stop the number one offense in basketball and the number one team in the league all by himself? No, we just talked about where Towns has been MIA.
Right.
Jimmy Butler is not going to do the same things Taj Gibson's doing. And if they're not rotating and doing what they need to do, Taj Gibson can't do it all by himself. He's still one hell of a defender.
Absolutely. And my hat's off to him. He's one of the top defenders in the league.
There I just you go. Think because Joel was big on, not big, but you were kind of, you know, you would say Taj Gibson would be a good pickup for the Rockets, for that inside post presence. That just because he's not doing well with the T-Wolves doesn't mean he wouldn't have been a good fit. And I think that's the reason why that guy's giving you so much grief.
The guy's
grief
giving
on
me heat because he's not doing it in this series. But you got to have help. I mean, you can't expect one guy who I said is a defender. I didn't say he's an all-world scorer.
Right.
I mean, they're not getting the scoring they need. They're not getting the shooting they need. And Taj Gibson defensively, obviously we talked about the fact that they're lacking defensively. Butler's supposed to be this great defender. But yet James Harden's getting his. You want me to 713 area code ending in 5843. You want me to ask you how you want to break down how great a defender Jimmy Butler is because Harden's getting his? He's the best damn scorer in the league. He's going to get his.
Yeah.
It's just you got to try and make it more difficult for everybody else. So there, I've aired that out. We've got fired up Joel early on in the show, and we still have more to get to. I want to ask you about Tom Thibodeau. I want to ask you about with that roster of the Timberwolves. I've been saying all along, man, if he's quit just being such a control freak, they might have more success because they do have offensive players to do some things. But we'll talk about that the rest of the Rocket series and kick around the rest of the NBA. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please feel free to join us. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, all you Cowboy fans, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you because you can hear that. The door could be opening if you're a Giants fan and you're looking for a compliment to OBJ. It looks as if the Giants have released Brandon Marshall, their big free agent acquisition of a year ago, who got hurt when the Giants season went in the crapper. Now he is free, which means there is a door open and a need for maybe a little help coming from Big D in the name of Dez Bryant. So we'll see how that translates. But Chris Mortensen and others reporting the fact that the Giants have released Brandon Marshall.
Foolish.
So you're a pro Dez guy.
Of course, I'm a Redskins fan. I'm anything.
Now the other team rumored to get Dez was your Redskins.
Then then I could change the way I feel about him.
Okay, you know, see, I'm with you too.
I'm teetering.
I was there and watched in Green Bay. It was a catch, but I told everybody. whatever, we would have won the game anyway with Rodgers, but you guys can argue all you want about that. And then when he became a free agent, I go, I'll tell you what, Packers could sign him, and then it would be a catch in my mind. I'll take that at that point.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
It was foolish of them to go with that dumb catch rule. I'm glad they finally simplified it.
Thank God they clarified that, because that was a mess.
See what it looks like next season when they actually enforce it.
And it was the perfect storm, because the bottom line was that last year, every possible thing to bring attention to the different ways that rule was misinterpreted, miscalled, whatever you want to say, finally got all in one season put in a microcosm so they could say, look, we can't just in a couple of years get to this. This has to be a here and now thing, because it affected the playoffs. Because the Steelers would have had home field had they had beaten the Patriots. It was even relevant in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things that they just got to grab the bull by the horns and say, okay, nothing.
Yeah, enough. I'm glad they did just finalize on what they come to an agreement on what has to happen with the call, because, I mean, all season long, we're watching these freakish athletes make these plays, and then, you know, we're stuck, you know, looking at a video trying to make sense of it.
Now, what are we going to do here in Washington as you're a Redskins fan? You let Cousins get away, which do you feel is a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad thing.
Because you were okay with
it. Yes, for years we haven't had a quarterback, and then we finally get RG3.
Right.
And then we screwed that up, and then
he screwed it up.
Well, I'm still say they screwed it up, because they shouldn't have played him when he was hurt. And he ended up re-injuring himself.
Right.
And I think what they did with him didn't work out, because we know he's a mobile quarterback. He needs to be on the move. You can't have him standing there being a pocket passer. That's not his strength.
Right.
But then you get Cousins, you get a quarterback that's at the top of the league, far as quarterbacks to go, and then you let go. And you're starting all over again.
We got Alex Smith.
I say you're starting all over again.
Okay. Clarified that in a hurry. Got that. We got an owner that's got a lot of money that he wants to throw around. So, and on that note, I was reading some stuff for the show today. And Nick, I don't know if you caught this, but I forget. It was on one of the sites we normally go to, Barstool or one of them. But the Dan Snyder had a guy that was saying how important it was and kept writing him that you need to keep Kirk Cousins. So when he didn't keep Kirk Cousins, he wrote some like smart ass comment on a signed picture of himself, and because he's in bed with FedEx, he's, you know, that's where he made his money, and he FedExed it to the fan. What a douche!
Wasn't it a Bruce Allen decision, Mooch, that they got rid of? Who was like the main?
I think Dan Snyder owns the team. He's gonna have the final say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care who said what.
It was a dumb decision regardless.
I think it's a dumb decision. I think you fix everything around. But Mooch, you don't let him go.
He was never let this guy go. I mean, he never won anything. The one time he got to the playoffs, the Packers knocked him out in the first round. And he was killing it from a bank standpoint, because, you know, they franchised him the first year, then they double franchised him the second year. He was making 21 and 24 the last 2 years. If there's one guy that's the poster child for how to work the system regardless of the end result, it would be Kirk Cousins.
I think that's the part of the reason why his bar was set so high, because they knew he was getting paid. And the fact that he got double franchised like that, expectations, I feel like kind of raised.
But what you're saying is everything. You know, I think we all feel the same, as far as we're going to have our opinions about it. But the Redskins can't, you know, I just don't think you let that guy go. I think you figure out how to move some things around and get your pieces right to go around him, because he does produce as a quarterback. But like you said, when we're trying to take that next level, that next step, you got to get the other pieces to go with it, because he's not, you know, he's not.
So, Nick, when I asked the question, what is Mucci Norris and Kevin Durant have in common? You now have the answer.
Why?
Both are diehard Redskins fans.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Katie.
Absolutely.
Kevin Durant's an amateur photographer, too. He got photography passes. He goes on the road. He was at Lambeau when I saw the Packers-Redskins game there.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's a photographer. He's diehard Redskins.
He loves his Redskins.
Yeah.
But we D.C. boys mostly do. I mean, it's hard to imagine. And my house is divided, which I don't get. We in Washington, D.C., and half the house is Cowboys and half the house is Redskins.
How do you get Cowboys fans in D.C.?
I don't know because I've never seen Texas at the end of Washington.
Star makes great toilet paper?
It's the America's Team line. I think that's it. Right there.
But they haven't been America's team in like 25 years.
Boy, they're still getting dividends from the 90s, man. They're still getting dividends
from that.
That's crazy.
Let's talk about that playoff success since then. Okay, we're done. All right, we can move on now. Hey, let's look at some of the text messages we're getting along the way. So, Mooch, we mentioned the fro bag somewhere, as long as you know where it is. We had a text message that says, not your average Joe chiming in, but I'd offer up $9.75 for a bunch of Moochie's fro.
I'm you know, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
We open the bidding at 975. And we go up from there, hopefully.
You said it's in a storage room, though. Is that a good place to preserve it?
Oh, yeah. My storage unit is, you know.
Like climate control?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some stuff in there. So for me to be a Redskin fan, this is how I screwed up. All right? I'm going to tell y'all this right now.
I think
right?
That's so funny.
I got a Troy Aikman helmet signed in.
So you're hanging it or banging it? You selling it or hanging on to it?
I'm thinking about, I don't know what to do with it. I got it to do something with it, but now I realize it's worth something. So I'm like, I don't know.
It's a real helmet?
Yeah, it's real. It's an actual game helmet.
That has got to be worth some money.
It's out there, Mooch. Hey, if anybody's interested in buying Mooch's Troy Aikman cowboy helmet game,
you've got the platform.
Game helmet. We got a platform for it. We'll see what we get from there. You know how to reach him at iMoochieNorris. We'll see what we can get out of that during the course of the day. Okay, here's another Nick, I think I can say ass clown, right? Well,
I did.
Say
that. Yep.
Yeah. So we got another ass clown on text message. When did Westbrook become a lockdown defender? I present to you Moochie Norris. Is he a lockdown defender? Are you going to speak? It's radio.
Well, he's hesitating.
Maybe Westbrook.
Maybe he's just a good defender and not a lockdown defender.
Some of these questions I just don't get.
It's just a dumb question, right?
It's a question that don't make sense. Like, this guy is one of the top guys in the league, and he plays both ends day long.
You see how hard he plays. You see that he goes back to the old school days of Kevin Garnett was the only guy that did it for a while, where even if you're buddies, when you cross those lines, I'll kick you in the grapes, and I'll step on your throat to win a game. And then you had all the huggy-kissy, I love you, going out in the league for so long. But he's one of those guys, old school, from that mentality of, I will dunk on you, I will hang my teabag on the bridge of your nose, and then I will frown and growl at you until we get a victory. I love that about him. And you look at his size, 6'6". You said, great story. You said you were playing in the Big Three last year, and you came across him in person for the first time. Tell people what you saw.
Yeah, I'm watching him on TV, and I kind of felt like, you know, I can get out there and, you know, go with Westbrook. And then, you know, doing the Big Three in Oklahoma, he walked up on me. He was like, how you doing? I was like, not that great now. I mean, you know, because I didn't realize he was such a physical specimen. I didn't realize he was just that, you know, that kind of athlete overall. But no, he's probably one of the angriest guys to ever play basketball. He dislikes everybody when he's playing against him. Outside the lines, great individual. But when it's basketball time,
yeah, I like that.
There are no friends. And that's how it should be, though.
No doubt.
That's how it should be. Because it keeps you focused on the task at hand.
I'm not a big fan of the media, but I do like it when he gets angry.
You,
the media.
I can't wait till he's angry. I'd be waiting for somebody to, you know, do something.
He's the Greg Popovich with the sideline reporter between quarters version of the NBA player, because you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get angry Russ. You're going to be good mood Russ. And literally, as the media, you walk up to him and you're kind of apprehensive, like, which Russ are we getting today? Give us a sign, because if you're in a bad mood, I'm probably not going to ask you about shooting 8 for 24. But if you're in a good mood, I might ask you a lot more. And you got to get a read from him. And he's tough to read, that guy.
Yeah, you're right. But I watched one of his interviews. And one of the guys asked him a question. And he gave him one of them looks. And he's like, you know the answer to that. And the guy was like, no, I'm asking. He said, you know the answer to that. And he said, tell him the answer. And the guy told him the answer. And I was through. I was stunned.
He probably got scared. Usually the media members they're not supposed to do that. They just keep saying, well, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. You know how that is.
Yeah.
But he probably scared him. But my favorite
reaction is
it's the local guy.
If it's the local writer,
he knows that Russ has already set a precedence of what he'll answer and what he won't.
Yeah, but you not answering, telling me to answer it is one thing, right? But me actually answering it because you told me to answer it. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is, the only thing that's going to get play is if it comes out of his mouth.
Absolutely.
Not the media.
Absolutely.
Guy.
So the media guy says the answer, then it is like he didn't say it.
I believe we had that guy on the air, didn't we, Joel? Was it Barry Trammell or?
Who's that?
The OKC beat writer?
We had a couple guys on from OKC. Not the guy that I really got into it with a couple years ago.
No, it wasn't that guy. It wasn't that guy.
There was a guy, I think his last name was like Mayberry or something like that. But he was quick to pick on Houston as a city and take jabs and all these other things. I'm like, really, bro? You been out your door and seen OKC lately? And you're going to start taking shots at Houston? Come on, man. And I was like, you know, I understand you're the beat writer, but just because you want to nuzzle up to the below the equator area of all the players to try and get in good, it ain't going to work when you start firing shots at the fourth largest city in America, because there's plenty of people that got loaded up artillery ready to come back at you.
Oh, yeah. This Houston, baby. Everybody got a gun. Everybody got one. Everybody.
They said there's room to mark up the purchase of the hair for resale. Same caller again. Yep. People on the Dez Bryant situation saying it doesn't matter because Eli Manning is still on the decline and their O-line will still be crap. Don't forget that they did go out at least and get one good offensive lineman from New England. So with that being said, that they'll have a chance to get a little better there. Met Mucci at the Galleria 1 year when he was here. One of the nicest guys I've ever met. Got a picture and an autograph. Two for one.
Two for one.
How about that? Maybe it's still in the storage area. Mooch, we got other questions for Mooch we'll get to along the way. But we're going to have some fun. You know that's the way we do it. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out, so Mucci Norris is in. We're in hour number one of a three-hour extravaganza, which we call the Big Show, just to get under AJ's skin. And we also call it the Usual Suspects. A lot of people have to realize, look, if you're going to willing to take shots, people that know me well, like the man to my right, realize that I am fully capable of shooting back and stinging. And I don't take the first one, but I can take the last one. And here's the thing. So people are taking shots when I am paid to do a job to be critical and give my opinion. I don't know that anybody that's texting is, but at the same time, then when they get sensitive, now I get a response, call me an ass clown, but OKC is a much better city, just smaller, very underrated. Look, I'm just telling you, I didn't call you an ass clown. I was talking about the person that was ripping the city, okay? And if you make a take about Russell Westbrook or take a take about Taj Gibson, I will tell you it, and if you don't want to hear it from me, I will tell it from a guy that has experienced it firsthand and a guy that sees it all the time in Nick. So give and take, people. You give, you get. It's the way it goes. All right, so we got that. You got your second text of the day out of the way. If I called you an ass clown, did you deserve it? That's something you in the mirror can work out. No, step out of that one. Other text messages we got that are great. Mooch White Magic wants to know. I'm just telling you, man, if you name yourself, it's one thing. What's really important is what other people call you in private. But anyway, White Magic wants to know who's the smartest basketball player ever. Not the best player, smartest player that you ever played with or against.
I played against a lot of them, though.
Yeah,
I played against Stockton.
Yeah.
Gary Payton. Got some Jordan time.
Yeah.
Some Magic time.
You can kick it around, all right?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm trying to think. Who was the smartest Rocket?
The smartest.
That you ever played with?
Me.
Wow.
Yeah, me.
Okay.
Yeah, me.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
You know, there's also a guy, Nick, that has self-proclaimed the Toyota Center is actually the house that he built.
Is it Steve Francis?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And with that being said, I say this because this could go a million different ways, but I haven't talked to my man in quite a while. But you never know who might pop up on the phone line when you bring in a guy like Mucci Norris. So as I look up on the board, I realize that Mucci in the break gave Wink, as we called him, his nickname from way back in the day, and he's a DC guy too. Wink looks like he may be on the phone. Well, let's give this a shot. Steve Francis. Welcome to the show. Hello. Got it, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Oh, it's really heat.
What's up, man?
Now I'm just practicing my golf game, getting ready for the tournament that we have coming up.
I feel a promo coming on here, Steve. I've known you too well for too long.
Yeah, promotion is right there where my big brother sits right there. But first of all, I want to say what's up to you guys. Long time no hear from. My question to you, Mucci, is this. How hard was it for you to defuse Jeff Van Gundy for me and Coutinho Mobley joking around in practice? How hard was that for you?
That's a great question, Steve.
You know what? It's the reason I don't have no hair right now. That's the reason I don't have no hair. That situation stressed me out daily. Daily.
It stressed him out, too, because I remember now, and Steve, you may have been back this one up. Moochie, you can't, too. But the one we got, because remember, that back in the day, the practice facility was at Westside, and we were over in the offices over there in Greenway, and we got word that Van Gundy's first day, he walks on the practice court, and you know how everybody did it. Whoever was playing was playing. And if you had some of your boys playing, whatever, and Van Gundy walks up to you and first says, "What's up with your hair?"
Flat out.
And, like, do you really think it helps you or it hinders you? And then says, "Who are all these people?" And starts questioning who's in the gym. It's like, what are we, in June?
Oh, man, it was a rough summer from the start. Like you said, he just walked right up to me, not no hey, no nothing. He's like, you know, what's going on with the hair? Like, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I just remember having so many conversations with Van Gundy. Don't get me wrong. Great coach. Yeah. I mean, he knows basketball. Now, that's one of the smartest people on the planet. Basketball.
Right.
I don't know what he does in free time, but, hey, his basketball IQ is off the chain. But, I mean, he stressed me out from the door.
Steve, you were the main guy. I mean, you were the headliner, and you had to deal with him. And he came in, and remember, there were no more, like, guys on billboards by themselves. There had to be five guys on a billboard when Steve Francis is the all-star, and he had Stephen Yao, and you couldn't do anything with those two guys. He had all those rules. Steve, how'd you deal with it?
I took him on the chin, just like when he said I went to the Super Bowl. I had the biggest Super Bowl party at my house that evening. I invited everybody from across the world. But no, Moochie, I have another question for you, not to cut you off. Who invented the hands up, Moochie?
I don't know.
Who invented that move,
Moochie? I don't know.
I'm afraid to ask what the hands up is.
I'm not talking about that. It's just a basketball move.
Okay.
It's a basketball move.
All right.
You tell me.
You know you did it. I was just saying that anyway. But
you know, like Joe said, man, I was self-proclaimed earlier, so now I can't do it two times. Can't Steve, do it two times on one show.
Steve, I already told the story because now, if you don't know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Mooch already said that he cut the fro off, but he has it in a bag somewhere in storage.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yes, he
True. Recall the night that you lost a tooth in the compact center, and the next day we had to get some dude in the front row off of eBay trying to sell that thing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What an evening that was.
You spent a long time in Doc O'Brien's dentist chair after that one.
Yeah, Mark Berman happened to be there at 4:30 a.m. waiting for me to come out.
That proves to you Berman doesn't have a life. Berman crawled out from under a rock to cover Steve Francis at the dentist.
Let me see the tooth, baby. Let me see the tooth.
It's crazy, man. You doing all right, Steve?
Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm out here practicing my golf game, as I said. Of course, it's a promo.
Yeah, well, give us the tournament information. You can do it. Steve, you know me.
You need to ask Joe about your golf game. Joe's really good in golf.
Yeah, I could probably lend a hand. But could you look? You know, Steve, how we do it. We're family. Tell everybody about the tournament, man.
March 28th, we're having a golf event. The North Side, a brand new golf course that's opening. It's a grand opening. It begins at 3:00. Moochie, I hope you can give him the address. I don't have it in front of me because these golf balls are coming so fast at me as we speak. The golf balls are coming. It's a little bit hot down here also, Moochie.
That's you. That's you.
I just wanted to call in, man. I appreciate it. When I get back home, I'd love to come in and holler at you guys.
Steve, you got it, man. No, we'll have you. Doors open. You know that.
A1. Moochie, I'll hit you later on.
All right, boy.
There you go. Steve Francis, man who built the Toyota Center.
And other things hot.
Craig Ackerman used to sign off broadcasts every now and then with the house that Steve built. We'll talk to you next time from the house that Steve built. People forget how freakishly athletic Steve Francis was till he started having issues with his knees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
dunk contest is one thing. He did it in games, too. Yeah. So
what we're saying in Westbrook is Steve used to do that. I've been seeing it since he was a kid. He was one of the original
first athletic super point guards.
Yeah.
He could get up there for a little man, too. So, all right, so we'll continue to kick it around. Look at that. Already one in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. So we've got plenty more to get to, and you're always welcome. And we've got text messages lining up. We've also got plenty of calls to get to as well. And you can reach us all on Twitter, as Moochie's going to be here for the full 3 hours. We're going to have some more fun. Johnny, we see you. We're going to get to you. Don't you worry about that. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Texas Can Academy. Texas Can Academy has been doing it for a long time, and I've been talking to you about them because I think it's a great program. It's Houstonians helping kids in need, trying to get a second chance at an education. What I mean by that is whether you lost a vehicle in the hurricane or you just have a vehicle that's not working anymore, that's been sitting around, you don't want to pay for a tow truck if it's not anything that you're going to do anything with. Well, I got a solution for you. All you do is pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226. Log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them what you live. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. They do the paperwork. They give you a nice little tax deduction. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And that's when the process really begins. Because your donation takes away distractions from kids trying to get an education. That means if kids are hungry, if they can't read the books, if they don't have the money to get the books, and they can't get to school, how the heck are they going to get an education? But because of your donations and your generosity, they suddenly can get warm meals, eyeglasses, book fare, bus money. Then it's all taken care of so they can focus on the studies and not have to worry about the distractions. It's a great program, like I said. So all you have to do to reach out to them and tell them if you have something to donate, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.